And we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking Riley County Police Department here on the show this morning. Director Dennis Butler is our guest, and he joins us every month here on the show. It's our opportunity to learn more about what's going on behind the scenes at the Riley County Police Department. And thought we'd spend a little bit of time here, Director, talking about crime statistics we saw in 2020. Those kind of go up and down, I know, from time to time. What did we see here in 2020 specifically?
Well, the preliminary figures show that overall Part 1 crime or our serious crime was down almost 6% in 2020 compared with 2019. Violent crimes were down almost 10%. But really, the primary driver of Part 1 crime is our property crime, and that was down a little over 5%. So that's what, again, shows about a 5.8% drop. What's interesting, though, in the property crime is that burglary of buildings and burglary of vehicles was up, especially burglary of vehicles. Over half of the cars broken into last year were unlocked. And so we always are encouraging people to lock their doors and when they have valuables inside to hide them or take them with them, because that's usually what attracts thieves. And less than 10% of the cars that were broken into were damaged. So usually if a door is locked, the thief is going to move on. And so that's why we encourage people to lock their doors. But if they do that, again, the same advice about valuables is given. Don't leave anything in there that they can see that's an attraction for a thief. Also, in our motor vehicle thefts, the number of cars that were stolen, a full third of them were unlocked when they were stolen, and I would imagine many of them had the keys in them as well. So it's very basic. You know, we continue to encourage our residents to protect themselves from being victimized by just taking those basic precautions, and we think it'll make a big difference in the long run. Overall, you know, when we look back on 2020, once crime stats are finalized, you know, there'll be an asterisk next to these figures because of COVID and the lockdowns, people staying home. I think that's why burglaries were down, is because more people were working from home or staying home with their kids who weren't in school. So most home burglaries occurred during the daytime. And so because people were home more, I think that's why that figure dropped pretty significantly. So we're going into 2021 here, and we'll see what happens. But overall, Riley County still remains a very safe community in terms of violent crime. Like I said, violent crime was down almost 10%. And we continue to focus our resources through intelligence-led policing on the areas where most crime is occurring. And we work on prevention and also in those areas where we feel like we have the highest likelihood of safeguarding people.
You know, and I look at the activity report almost daily here, being the news director, and I have to say I've seen a lot of cases here where people are having their cars broken into and then firearms are stolen, and that's a little bit concerning, I know, for folks, because you know, those probably aren't always ending up in pawn shops necessarily, since they're most of the time registered. What happens with those cases? Are people stashing? Do you think people are stashing these somewhere, or what drives that kind of a crime?
You know, I have to admit it. I never saw routinely firearms being stolen from cars in the first 25 years of my career. And since firearms laws have been relaxed in the last 10 years or so here in Kansas, the first time I saw it was not here. It was in my last job in Kansas, where people are leaving their cars unlocked with firearms inside. And we're seeing more and more of these thefts occur, which is really troubling to me, because if you've got a 15-year-old breaking into cars and taking firearms, I mean, that's a concern. So that's one of those things where even if you're hiding your gun in your car, you should buy a small safe that you can attach to the seat frame or to a trunk tie down something, and put your weapons in there and lock them. It doesn't mean they can't be stolen, but it certainly is a lot harder if you want to leave it in there to secure it that way. So yeah, we're seeing that. We've seen it more than once in Riley County in 2020. So we encourage people to lock their cars, hide their guns, or take them with them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate, and don't want to see that. You don't want to see people losing those things, because you never know what the intent is behind somebody who's taking it. And again, as you mentioned, a lot of these crimes can be prevented, and that's the whole term behind crime prevention. Part of it comes on the responsibility of residents just taking care of their stuff.
Sure. You know, it's basic. It's not unique here. I've seen this everywhere I've worked, where we spend time trying to educate our community about some basic steps they can take to prevent themselves from being crime victims. But, you know, they always have a choice on how they want to live their lives. And some people, you know, just don't want to take the time to do that. And then they end up being crime victims. Not every day, but we could reduce it quite a bit if more people would take steps to safeguard their property.
Yeah. Well, in terms of other items here of note, how is the department handling COVID cases within the department? Are things going all right there?
Yeah, I think they're going good. We've had a total of 32 employees over time who've tested positive. 30 have recovered. Almost all of our employees who want a vaccination have received the first one. Not every employee wanted one, but this week, I think we finally got to everybody who was interested. In fact, I think this weekend, some are going to start receiving their second vaccination. So we're very excited about that, and we hope that that slows the number of positives we've had here. In terms of the community, we're still working with our business owners on them remaining in compliance with the county health order, and they're very cooperative in almost every situation. And if not, we spend extra time with them trying to help them understand why it's important. So, now that the COVID vaccinations are being offered to the general public more widely, my understanding is they'll be doing it every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for the foreseeable future. And the vaccination sites will be moving around. I think they're at Seco Park today, doing vaccinations, and we're having officers be assigned out there to help direct traffic. But I'll be glad when we get past all of this, because I've had to devote a lot of staff to various duties on the Emergency Operations Center for this, coordinating vaccinations internally, helping with the EOC and traffic control. So it's definitely taxing us in ways that we didn't anticipate, and we didn't anticipate it would last this long.
Yeah, and it sounds like the health department's got the vaccine clinic. They made some adjustments after last week. I know last Thursday was a nightmare scenario for a lot of folks trying to go in and get those vaccines. And I don't know if you had to officers that had to go out there or not to kind of direct traffic, but it sounds like the traffic situation was pretty bad on Kimball.
Yeah, we did. My understanding from some of my staff is what happened that day is when they opened it up to more of the general public, just like with others, they were to make an appointment online and come at a certain time and be assigned a number. And it was very organized and orderly. But what happened, especially with some of our seniors, is they would come with a neighbor who hadn't signed up, or maybe they had a caregiver bring them along, and then they would request a vaccination as well. And I don't know what all the criteria was that went into it. So you had a lot of people showing up who shouldn't have been there because they hadn't made an appointment. And that's what really created the traffic jam. And so that's been addressed. My understanding is that's been addressed. And that's why the vaccination site was moved from the fire department. There just really isn't enough room there when you have that many people show up, especially unscheduled ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know everything's a learning curve here with COVID-19. It's been that way since last March. And I think for the most part, we're starting to get a handle of it. We're starting to manage cases better. And the vaccine rollout's just another olive branch of all this whole thing. Going forward, take a look here at the rest of 2021. Do you anticipate RCPD will have some socially distant activities here for the public to take part in here in the next few months?
You know, we evaluate this all the time. You know, I mentioned to you during one of the breaks last Monday, I went to a senior center and spoke in person to a group of seniors with all of those precautions in place. It's the first time I really had a chance to do that in months, and it was wonderful. It was great to get out and see people. So we want to do it, and, you know, in some cases when we've tried to do it in the past, the venue that we would need to use has denied our application to do it. So it isn't because of lack of desire. Sometimes you have organizations that won't let us use their facilities, and that's understandable. So we're trying to do as much stuff outside. As you know, we did the Christmas giveaway with our police officers. We did a drive-through at Seco Park, and we'd never done that before. So we're trying to find creative ways to collaborate and reach out to our community, and we're doing pretty well with that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good program, and that's always one that is fun to see, because you get to see the kids who maybe wouldn't have a very good Christmas get to go and,
right,
and take care of themselves. So that's really neat to see.
Before you sign off, I did want to comment on something you said about the learning curve with, you know, the jam up we had out at the fire department. That's really important. You know, we have so many people in the county that are working very hard to try to do what needs to be done to provide these vaccinations. And sometimes things happen that we just don't anticipate. But typically, when it does happen, they correct it right away. So I just ask people to be patient and understanding that we are dealing with something we've never dealt with before. And it's a team effort, and everybody's working very hard to make it a smooth process and get people what they need.
All right. Yeah, that's a very good point. That's about all the time we have. We've got about a minute left here. I'll just ask you a random Kansas question. What's outside of Manhattan, what's the nicest city you've been to here in the state of Kansas?
Oh, man, you're going to get me in trouble. The nicest city. Huh.
Or maybe your favorite place to go in Kansas. I don't know. One of the two.
I'm telling you, really, gosh. I've been around quite a bit. I mean, Kansas is so different between the West and the middle part of the state and the North and the South. I'd say one of the places I've enjoyed visiting the most was actually before I moved here. I took a drive one day up to Atchison, and I went to the Amelia Earhart Childhood Home and Museum now. And then I kind of did a self tour around Atchison, and I really enjoyed Atchison, you know, on the bluff over the Missouri River and the housing up there and visiting the museum. It was one of the most memorable things I think I've done since I've been here.
That is a good place. That'll make our very own Sam Henney very happy. That's his hometown, so I'll have to let him know.
Right. Well, I like history, so anything historic is stuff I like to do.
Good stuff. Well, Director, we appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again in February.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Have a great weekend.
All right. Appreciate it. That's going to wrap up our show, Stephen. We appreciate Director Butler being on the show. And coming up on Monday, we'll have Ben Jedlicka and Todd Levin from Tuttle Creek and Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism, plus Manhattan Parks and Recreation officials.